You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and not too long ago, today's guest and I were on a call, I think together, where I mentioned a guy whose book I'm holding in front of me right now. His name is Bill Kates, and he's written a bunch of books about referrals, getting referrals for your business, and most importantly, how to systematize referrals within a business. Now, this concept of systematizing referrals, kind of a foreign one. Like most businesses, when I talk to them about marketing, they'll go, oh, no, I'm not interested in marketing. I build my business through referrals. And I say, great. Tell me about the system that you have for getting referrals. And then there's silence, as you may have noted from the little smirk sound that you heard from my guest. That's not an answer that most people know how to give, right? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the entire idea of referrals. And it starts, of course, with how do you actually make yourself referable? Well, today's guest, Michael Roderick, is an expert on this particular topic, probably because he's one of the very few people who is talking about it. And as a result, I figured he'd probably be a good person to have on the show to introduce the idea and guide us through it today. So, hey, Michael, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I know you have some strong opinions on this topic, sure. And I eventually want to get deep into this, but maybe before we talk a little bit about the referral stuff, we'll do a little background story on you to how you got into the referral world, because you have a fascinating background. You and I were just I was going to use the word kibitzing. I'll use the word kibitzing about our mutual backgrounds in the theater industry. But even before theater, you were teaching high school English. So
that is true.
How did you get from there to here?
Yeah. So, I started as a high school English teacher, and I went from being a high school English teacher to a Broadway producer in under 2 years. And there was this question by a lot of people, anytime you sort of have kind of a quick jump, right? Everybody's like, well, how did you do it? So I have always been the type of person, I like kind of picking things apart. So I decided to kind of look at, well, what was that journey? And originally my theory was it was networking. I was like, okay, well, I'm just really good at the relationship building component. I kind of know, you know, how to connect with people and connect people. So that must be it. And then a little while back, I asked myself the question, okay, well, what if I'm wrong? What if it's not just networking? So then I said, okay, if I had to take networking out of the equation, and ask myself, how did I get into all the rooms I got into? What was that reason? And I realized it was because people would talk about me when I wasn't in the room in a good way. And that's what led down sort of this rabbit hole of referability, where I was like, well, I wonder if, just like with all the networking stuff, I wonder if this is something that can also be broken down and sort of deconstructed. And that it's what led me to just really digging into this idea of referability, the principles behind it, the way that we start to think about how we package these ideas, these concepts, and these offers.
So let's break down what referability is, and maybe sure. Let's start with what people out there are assuming they need to do to be referable that they're getting wrong. And then let's talk about sort of your definition for the structure of referability.
Sure. Well, I think that a lot of the time when people think about referability, they're thinking I've got to have my pitch, right? Like, I think like that's kind of the biggest thing is they're like, I need to have my elevator pitch. People need to sort of understand, you know, what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But the problem is every meeting that you have, especially if it's in a business sort of setting, everybody's got a pitch, right? And it sounds a lot the same. And because you have all of these people who have taught people how to pitch, they literally have like a formula, right? Like language, and people are plugging their words in. Like it's like sort of, you know, a Mad Libs kind of, you know, kind of scenario. And we've reached this point where that's just not that interesting anymore. We're kind of like, okay, I guess, okay, great. You help this group with this thing. Okay. So what I like to think about, and the way I think about referability, is you hear whatever this person has to say, and you basically say, other people need to know this. Other people need to hear about this person. That's referability. It's this aspect of the second that this person opens their mouth and they start sharing something with you, you're like, I need to talk to other people about that. I need to talk to other people about this particular person. And I think the biggest aspect of that is that it's not word of mouth, it's giving people the words that they use and like having them actually say the things that you're coming up with and that you're putting together, as opposed to, okay, it's word of mouth where it's like they can kind of say whatever, you know, whatever they want, and it may or may not serve you.
So I remember several years ago, I met with somebody through networking and they said, well, let's get together and talk about how we can refer each other. And I thought, well, that sounds like a nice idea. And she showed up very prepared with a form and handed me a form, and her form was empty and mine was all filled out with all the information about how to refer her. Right. Who mm-hmm. she serves, what problems she solves. Here's the things I should listen for that they say. And when I hear that, here's what I should say. And so I thought, well, gosh, this person's got it together. But I quite frankly can't recall a time where I found myself in a situation to easily insert myself into, you know, somebody's complaint and say, oh, I know just the person so-and-so you need to meet.
Yep.
You and I had a call maybe a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. It was a get to know me call. And you went through your version of this, which felt much more natural. You asked me a bunch of questions. You had sort of a clear direction of where you were going. I wonder if you might walk us through
sure.
your approach to this scenario and why what you do is different from what this other person did.
Yeah. So I would say kind of the biggest thing is that in order for us to develop rapport, there needs to be a conversation. So while that person did say, I want to talk about how we can refer each other, she then handed you a sheet and said, do this for me, right? Like this is what I want you to do. And that means that you have no input in the conversation. So whatever she decided is like the pain point that the person is dealing with and all those things, she decided it. So anytime somebody just gives you something and says, hey, do this, you're naturally going to have a pushback for that and not really feel like you can find like you want to do that because you have no contribution to the conversation, right? So what works better in these referral scenarios is actually having the conversation and asking the questions to the other person, the things that you would like to hopefully have them be thinking about and sort of be looking at for you. And most of the time, you know, the things that you really want to have a better understanding of is who is it that they're helping? What is what I like to refer to as the target problem? So a lot of time we get very general with problems. We're like, oh, you know, I help them with their marketing, right? Like, okay. Like, what's the sort of deeper issue in the marketing side of things? Are they struggling with figuring out how Facebook ads work? You know, is it an email marketing problem? Like, what is that real issue that's sort of coming up? And when you're asking that person about their problem, and very specifically, you're digging deeper. You're not just giving them the sort of passive like, oh, well, you know, if they need help with their marketing, okay, great. What kind of help? So what kinds of things are these people coming to you with and saying that if I hear those things, I might think about you? And then that's coming from you. So now I'm getting that language and I'm hearing it. I'm like, oh yeah, they go through, you know, that particular thing. But because we went through that process, most of us, just it's just natural, we mirror each other, right? So like if I'm asking you all those questions and in-depth questions and figuring out those things, your natural inclination is to then ask me the same types of things and get the same level of specificity. So as a result, we're both getting something out of the conversation. And I think that the biggest problem that I see specifically with referral-oriented conversations is that there are these push conversations as opposed to this like back and forth, like, okay, well, let's really dig in and figure out what's going to make the most sense and sort of how can we support each other and really take the time to go deeper as opposed to here's my one sheet. And I understand there are plenty of people out there who they'll swear by things like one sheets and all of that stuff. But I am not a fan of formulas. I am a fan of frameworks. I want you to help me think differently. And I want to have a conversation. I don't want to be told what to do. And maybe that just comes from, you know, being in the theater and doing all the sort of entertainment things. You don't want to be told what to do. You want to, you know, a good director doesn't say, go over there. A good director says, I'm curious, now that you're upset, where might you go on the stage? And then you make the decision, you move forward. But that director is helping you think through that. They're dropping the breadcrumbs. And I think that's what makes for really solid conversation and what makes for much, much stronger referrals.
So I remember back to the conversation you and I had, and I sort of recalled it felt a little lopsided for me because you were asking me such good questions. And I was like, all right, at some point, I know it's my job to learn more about Michael. And I had known a good bit about you because I usually do a little research before I meet people. And so I had to think, okay, well, how am I supposed to do this? I'm going to follow and mirror what you're doing. And I don't think I actually did as good a job as I could have. What did you do to set me up aside from just demonstrating what you were doing and then hope that I was going to reflect that back? Was there any way that you sort of invited me to say, great, now it's your turn to ask me some questions?
Yeah, a lot of the time what it will be is it will be that sort of initial shift of like, okay, so now, you know, let's talk about where I'm trying, like what I'm trying to do or sort of where I'm trying to go, right? And it would be like, okay, this is the focus or this is the, you know, this is the thing. And I think that depending on the conversation and sort of where the conversation goes, you can decide sort of how in depth you want to get. So in our situation, I sort of, you know, asked these questions, sort of shared these points. And then I shared a little bit about what works. I think one of the things that I said that what works well for me, right? And this is one that I really like because rather than saying to somebody, you know, can you refer me to this type of person? Or can you, you know, one of the things that I say is, you know, where a lot of my business comes from and a lot of my opportunities come from are sharing my expertise, right? When I share concepts and ideas, I get calls. People reach out to me. They have questions, things like that. Now, what that does is it creates sort of an open idea there. Right. So it could be that you're like, oh, there's somebody who I think needs your help. But it could also be, oh, you know what? You really should go on this podcast or you should come on my podcast. Right. Like there's all these variances to the directions that you can go. And I think that the mistake that I see is that we spend so much time kind of trying to identify the utility of the person and not the possibility of the person. And if we take the time to just kind of be like, this is what I'm trying to do. Do you have any ideas? Do you have any thoughts? And we sort of turn it on them. A lot of the time they come up with better suggestions, referrals, opportunities than we could have even come up with.
Well, I think this goes back to the idea of it being a framework, not a scripted process, because it allows for that flexibility. And I'm as you were talking about that, I was sort of projecting that same concept onto how we walk into networking events and we're pre-programmed mm-hmm. to how many cards can I hand out or how many people appointments can I set, or how sales conversations typically go where there's a structured, you got to get through the Sandler submarine and do all of the steps in order to, you know, get to the close. Whereas you're providing an opportunity for a conversation. And I imagine sort of like the Sandler submarine. And for those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, go look it up. the idea is at some point there's going to be a clue whether this is a worthwhile conversation to invest in further or not. And the other participant is going to either, you know, take up the cause, or they're going to, you know, not be an ideal referral partner, and they're going to drop some clues along the way about that.
Yeah.
So I'm making an assumption that there's clues, but you're nodding. So I'm kind of curious, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah. So I always kind of go back to just the level of interest that somebody has, right? So if you're explaining what you're doing, or you're sort of talking about, you know, your work, or, you know, once you sort of get to that point where you're sharing yourself, they're either leaning in or they're leaning back, really, right? Like they're either like, yeah, that's so interesting, you know, et cetera. Or they're like, okay, yeah, you know. And sometimes there's like a little bit of a middle ground where they're somewhat interested in some things, but not interested in others. But a lot of the time you can see kind of instantly or very quickly whether or not somebody is really engaged and interested in what you're talking about. Now, if we take it into the sales conversation sort of side of things, and this is like, I guess you could sort of almost call this like the surprise sale that ends up happening, mm-hmm. is if you're sharing the target problem and you're explaining it really well, then the person, even though it may be a networking conversation or you're just meeting, you know, sort of with that person, they may literally say, oh my God, I need to hire you. Or, oh my God, you know, that hits so hard. Or, oh, my friend just went through, you know, that particular thing or that particular challenge. So I think like you pay attention to how much are they paying attention, and then you adjust based on those things. And the other thing that is big for me is I ask permission, right? So I like to, you know, if something comes up and somebody's like, yeah, you know, I'd love to work with you, or, you know, they say something of that nature, I don't just launch into whatever it is. I say, okay, so would it be okay for me to kind of walk you through a little bit of the work that I've done? Like, would that be all right? You know, and they're either going to say yes or no to that. Right. And then that also helps me figure out, like, was it just sort of an offhanded comment, or were they really being, you know, serious about the fact that they wanted to do some work together and they wanted to make something happen? But I think that the thing that is going to always help you in conversations is being an active listener and not thinking about what you're going to say next, but thinking about whatever the person responded to, and then and processing that. And paying attention to like, how are they reacting? Sort of what's going on, and then adjusting as needed, you know, because if somebody is not interested in what you have to offer, then there's no point in you wasting 10 or 15 minutes trying to explain your process or sort of talk about the way that you do things, when really you could use that 10 or 15 minutes to get to know more about them, to talk about maybe something else that you both are interested in and excited by. And they're going to remember that, right? They're going to remember that aspect of connection and the fact that you didn't derail the conversation to make sure that you got your thing across. You let the conversation go where the conversation needed to go.
As you're telling that, I'm thinking about the comment that I have heard dozens of times, which is, you know, and I'm actually a big talker, so I'm not very good at this, but the comment where somebody is just asking questions, and then the person who they're in conversation with comes away from that conversation saying, wow, that was the most fascinating conversation I've had in a long time, but they've not learned a thing about the other person, right?
Yep.
And I think I can see that working in the scenario you've just outlined.
Yeah.
Is there benefit to that in your eyes? Like, can that be helpful in furthering the relationship or moving it to the next step? Or is that actually problematic in that you didn't have the opportunity to share here's what I do and how and who I help and how you can then help me.
I think it comes down to the aspect of, again, letting the conversation go where it needs to go. For some people, a good first meeting is kind of like all about, you know, all about them, right? Like, and it's just sort of like, that's the dynamic that sort of, you know, that exists. And it's not that that's a, you know, it's not that that's a negative, like they're taking up all the air, you know, the airspace. It might be that that particular day, they really just needed to like have somebody treat them, you know, like they were the most important person and ask them all the questions. And in some cases, when you get to the end of that conversation, if they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, we didn't even get to talk about you, that leads to a whole other, you know, a whole other conversation, right? And a whole other sort of, you know, world of opportunities and possibilities, mm-hmm. right? And I think that all too often, we worry so much about, can I get it all in? Can I make sure that everybody sort of knows everything? But the thing that makes people curious is when there's stuff that's left out, right? So like if somebody wants to know more about you or wants to learn more, then they're going to seek you out. They're going to keep reaching out to you. They're going to stay in touch. They're going to think about ways that they can potentially help. I've certainly had instances where I've had a conversation and they've asked me so many questions that I didn't get to sort of say, you know, really dig into them and sort of find out more about what's going on with them. And I can't tell you the number of times I've just, you know, followed up with them and been like, listen, that was awesome. You know, I really appreciate your kind words about our conversation and all this stuff, but I haven't learned enough about you, you know, and I'd love to have another conversation, or I'd love for you to just share with me what's kind of at the top of your list right now. What's the biggest focus right now? What are you looking ahead towards? You know, and I think that sometimes you can get that in a voice message. Like sometimes somebody can just shoot something back to you. And that's the thing. My friend Blake Fly, who is like really good at these voice message things and really turned me on to that dynamic. And it's just like, you can shoot off a voice message to somebody, answer a question, solve a problem, make a suggestion of an intro. And it takes you like next to no time whatsoever, so you can keep the conversation going. And that actually lends to one other piece, which is I think that most referral sort of networking environments focus on the idea of relationship acquisition, where it's like, let me kind of get to know as many people, build as big of a network as possible. And I think that the real power is in relationship retention, where like you meet somebody more than once and you get to know them over time and then you trust them. It's like consistency plus intention equals trust, right? And once we trust people, we're probably more likely to refer them. We're probably more likely to get deeper into, well, what is the actual challenge that they're experiencing and how can we support them and sort of how can we help each other?
So, boy, this can go in so many different directions. I'm thinking about sort of the way that we nurture relationships of prospects, you know, via email, drip campaigns, that sort of thing. I'm also thinking about how my showing up at the same networking event over the course of a year lends to familiarity around me, and that builds trust as well, even though, yep. you know, I don't necessarily people don't have more than just cursory knowledge of my existence and what I do, but they're much more likely to engage me simply because they've seen me consistently show up, and that is a trust builder in their mind.
Yeah.
You've used the word framework, and I can see how this really is much more of a framework than the word that I used at the beginning, which was system.
Yeah.
But I want to understand where we sort of, as any good Hollywood movie does, we dropped in the middle of the action by talking yeah. about this conversation. How yeah. did these conversations come about in the first place?
Yeah. So I think that there's a couple of different elements. I think one is the aspect of, I guess the best way I can describe it is you do something in a group setting where you show your expertise as opposed to tell your expertise. And I think very, very few people take advantage of this opportunity, but it is available no matter what group you're in, almost always in any group, there's going to be somebody who needs feedback on something. There's going to be some idea or concept that somebody's going to share. There's going to be something where they're going to ask the audience, basically, right, for some insight or for some idea. When you jump in and share a framework, an insight, a concept, or whatever it is, if you share it in an effective way, if you share it in a way that sort of makes somebody be like, wow, that's really interesting, they will then reach out to you. And I think that this is just something that is not done nearly enough in a lot of social, in a lot of social situations. Like, we don't take the time to be like, okay, well, what is some piece of expertise that I could share that would encourage somebody or sort of cause somebody to be like, you know what, I want to reach out to that person. I want to learn more about that person. I want to connect to that person. The other thing, though, and I think, again, something very, very few people ever take advantage of, is hosting your own thing. And I think everybody like worries so much about sort of the logistics and the, you know, but you could literally, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what sided things you're doing, you could basically just be like, I'm going to put up a Zoom link and I'm going to invite some people who I think are really solid people who I think would enjoy meeting each other. And I'm just going to host. I'm just going to bring those folks together. And, you know, we started this, my friend Jason Van Orden and I, we started this GEM thing back in 2020 because basically podcast hosts and podcast guests were never kind of getting together. Like, and podcasting felt so solitary, right? So I was just like, you know what? We're all kind of home anyway. Why don't we just get together and find time to just sort of connect and support each other? And that's still going, right? And what happens? People then are like, oh yeah, you run that thing. I want to reach out to you and I want to find some time to connect. I want to find some time to talk. And that's the thing. I think that most often what ends up happening is we don't do that work enough. We don't do that stuff enough, but we expect that we're going to just like reach out to people and get them to introduce us to people, right? We're going to just like hammer our list to try and get these referrals and all these different types of things. But really, once you've got somebody coming to you because they haven't even, like, they're literally like, I just want to get to know you more, those people are going to make intros for you. They're going to connect you. They're going to offer different opportunities. And you can co-host with people all the time where it's like, find somebody who doesn't know people that you don't know and they don't, you don't know people they don't. And you bring everybody together. And that's how you get things going. You get things started. I often tell people when they're like, oh, well, I'm going into a new industry. What do? Host something. Put together a panel. Put together a gathering. Put together something that basically provides value for the industry as a whole, where people are like, wow, you're really taking the time to deal with something that we're all dealing with. And then everybody wants to meet the host. It's a natural thing. When I was in theater, it was the same thing. I would host these gatherings of theater companies. And what would happen at the end of those things? Everybody wanted to meet me one-on-one. And that's how I think, again, just something that very, very few people take advantage of. And everybody has the opportunity to do it.
I love that tactical approach to getting in front of a lot of people who see and desire to, you know, have that follow up with you. The entire subject matter that we've been covering here, getting to become referred or referable, right? That is at the core of the work that you've been doing for a long time, and it's taken different forms. I'm curious, could you share a little bit about what you're currently doing to help people become referable?
Sure. So basically, what I have started to do is I've started work on helping subject matter experts become what I like to refer to as thought leadership triple threats. And basically, what most subject matter experts end up falling into in terms of a category is they end up being seen as the scientist, right? They're very, very good at what they do. They've figured out how to support their clients. They've done a really, really great job. And chances are they're the secret weapon for somebody else, right? But they've deprioritized the packaging of their own intellectual property. So in many cases, they've built other people's businesses, they've built other people's brands, they've done all of these things, but they've never done it for themselves. And the difference between those subject matter experts who are usually very, very well versed in their subject, understand everything, and the people that we follow is that the people that we follow have the other two elements of the thought leadership triple threat. And that is, you have the scientist, the celebrity, and the magician. So the celebrity knows how to promote themselves. They're good at going out there. They're doing the relationship building. They're doing the networking. They're letting folks know sort of what they have to offer and what they're, you know, what they're putting out into the world. And then the magician is very, very talented at creating intrigue, right? They're very good at coming up with the snappy ideas and concepts and the things that other people want to share, right? They've got the acronyms. They've got the positioning. They've got all of those elements together. So what I've started doing is I've started working with those subject matter experts who are the scientists, who are these like undiscovered geniuses. And I've been helping them use these referability principles to build the celebrity, to build the magician element into what they're doing so that folks are like, I want to follow you. I want to listen to your stuff. I want to work with you. I know that you can solve my problem.
Fascinating. And I love the fact that you're focusing on that particular audience, because I encounter them all the time. I'm like, how come you're not, you know, doing more or more effective at getting your capabilities and messages or, you know, services out there? And this is sounds like a great path for those who want to take you up on going through that process. If somebody's interested, how did they get started with the going down the path of becoming a triple. I told you right before I hit record that I was going to be struggling with words today, and apparently that was a self-fulfilling prophecy. So how do you become a triple threat a la Sutton Foster, but I guess in the world of business development?
Yeah. So it's really looking at each of the sort of main principles of referability. And those are accessibility, influence, and memory. So your first hurdle is always, is what you're providing accessible? Like, do people actually understand it? Do they get it? And then your second hurdle is influence. And that is, are you packaging everything in such a way that basically other people will then talk about you, share your stuff with other people because it makes them look good? You know, I think that that's the thing that we get a little mixed up sometimes, is that we think that influence is about persuasion, but it's really about getting people to do things without us asking, right? Mm-hmm. And if we can make them look good, if we can create something that they're like, I want to share that with my friends, then it will work. And then the final piece is, what memory triggers are you building into the work that you're doing, so that basically you're carving like a piece of mental real estate in somebody's head. So every time they think of a certain term or a certain concept, they're thinking of you because you mentioned that idea sort of over and over and over again. So one of the things that I've done is I've created a referability rater. And that's just at myreferabilityrater.com. And what it is a series of questions that you can ask to give yourself a referability score. So you can see, where are you sort of doing well on the accessibility side? Where are you doing well on the influence side? Where are you doing well on the memory side? And once you kind of have a sense of that, then it's easy to say, oh, okay, well, the celebrity piece really needs a lot of work, because you're really kind of low on this sort of influence, you know, side. Or, you know what, the memory piece is really, really low right now, because you haven't really taken the time to package this or sort of come up with more of that like magician types of those concepts and those types of ideas.
And so again, that is at myreferabilityrater.com. We'll make sure to have that link in the show notes as well. Michael Roderick, this has been fascinating, and I always learn so much every time I'm in a place where you are speaking, and today was no exception. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a really, really awesome conversation. Fantastic questions.
Well, thank you. Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who can benefit from listening to the episode you heard today, please refer them our way. See you next time. I'm David Baer. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.